All right, guys, we're going to talk about two natures. So we've kind of been going through different parts of doctrine. We've talked about God, who he is, the Trinity. Now we're going to get into, of course, this aspect of Jesus Christ and the fact that he has two natures. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. This is a profound mystery, okay, that he could be fully God and fully human at the same time, and what that means. Even recently when I just did a conference, that question came up, how can you reconcile that in your mind? That was the question that was asked, and I don't know that we're going to come to a conclusion except that it's something we have to accept by faith, okay? The problem is that people can go off into heresies over this issue. There are ancient heresies. We're going to talk about those in a moment. There are modern heresies, and it all has to do with whether or not he is God or he is human or both. And how is he both? Okay? So we're going to talk about that today. We're not going to talk about his deity because we've already talked about the deity of God. All right? We've talked about that already, so I don't need to spend a lot of time talking about that. But we're going to focus in, first of all, on his humanity. Jesus Christ is human. Now, for us, to be very honest with you, that's a little bit harder for us 2,000 years later than it was for the early church, because the early church were filled with witnesses who, if you remember what John says in 1 John chapter 1, our hands have handled. You know, we've touched him, okay? Basically, we saw him. We interacted with him. So they didn't have a problem recognizing that he was human. For us, we haven't seen Jesus Christ, right? And so the aspect of him being God, we're ready to accept that, okay? But so let's talk about the humanity of Jesus Christ. And my hope is that as we go through these, there'll be some discussion. So first of all, his human nature. Humanity of Jesus Christ has seldom been called into question. Very rarely does this whole issue of Jesus being human come into question. Even unbelievers, they accept that he's a man. Okay, because for him, he's a great teacher. For some, he's the pathetic figure from history who ended up going to the cross. Do you understand? There isn't very many people who would say that Jesus Christ didn't exist. Okay? He existed. How do we know he existed? He changed all of human history. Do you understand? This is not just a myth. This is changing all of human history in the course of Europe and even in our nation and so forth. This guy is real, okay? So in the early church, there were two heresies that emerged concerning his humanity. Eutychianism, that was those who came out of those Pharisees who were in the church, who felt that Jesus became the Son of God and ceased to be the Son of God at the crucifixion. They had a hard time grasping the reality of who he was. But then there was also the Gnostics. This emerged primarily from the Gentile believers who felt that there was basically a duality in the world. There was the spirit and there was the flesh. The spirit was good, but the flesh was evil. So therefore, they felt that Jesus Christ never had a body. Never had a body. That's why when you go to 1 John, in the very first chapter, John makes the point of saying, yes, we have seen him, we have handled him, we have touched him. Why? Because early Gnosticism was beginning to show up in the church in AD 90. Okay, and so he's addressing that. Jesus Christ has become a true man in order to atone for the sins of mankind. Here's the thing, Jesus Christ, God, the second person of the Trinity, couldn't atone for your sins. Does everybody understand that? But Jesus Christ, man, a true man, a sinless man, could atone for your sins. This is why it's important for us to believe in his humanity. He was the perfect sacrifice. He paid the penalty for who? For all of us, right? For all of our sins. He took them upon himself. And he was the sinless one, the perfect one. So, all right, so let's talk about the proofs of his humanity. How do we know that he was human? I've got five things I want to share with you here. We've talked about some of them already, but it's good to refresh ourselves. First of all, he had a human birth. Everybody recognize that? He had a human birth. Even his enemies recognized that he had a human birth. Do you understand? Except when they recognized that he had a human birth, they saw him as a bastard child, born out of wedlock or something, okay? So Jesus was born of a woman who was a virgin. He's born of a woman who was a virgin. So that's a couple scriptures we're going to look at here. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So Paul is saying to the Galatian church, he was born of a woman, okay? Here's another one. Luke, this is from Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So the reality is he's born of a woman, okay? Born of a virgin, a woman. We already know that, right? We've already talked about that when we talked about the incarnation. Anybody got a question real quick about what we're talking about here, his birth? That's the first proof that he's a human, all right? Here's the other thing. He experienced human development. Now, you understand what I mean by that? He experienced human development. What do I mean? Well, Jesus Christ experienced the ordinary development of human beings. The ordinary development of human beings. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. He went through a normal human development, which, you know, we're witnessing that right now. So with our grandson, Thaddeus. And so, we have a frame and we have these pictures coming up, and a lot of the frames are Foster and Lauren do tummy time with him to build up his strength to hold his head up. So there he is, some of the younger pictures, and he's barely getting his head up. But then now we have pictures of him with his head up and perched and everything, you know what I'm saying? And that's development, right? He's going through human development. We all know that, right? Jesus experienced the very same things. He experienced human development just like any other human being. He didn't just emerge, all of a sudden become Jesus. It seems that way when you read the Gospels, right? He had a regular human development. Okay, let's go on. He had the essential elements of human nature. You understand what I mean by that? The essential elements of human nature. What would that be? Before I put my point up on the wall here, what do you think that would be? Having the essential elements of human nature. Well, how about a body? Okay? Jesus Christ has a physical human body. Okay? A physical human body and the limitations of a physical human body. Right? The limitations of a physical human body. So again, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. That is, God prepared a body for him. He's prepared a body for all of us, hasn't he? He created us, right? Okay, so he's got the essential elements of a human nature. Now he's got the sinless infirmities of human nature. Sinless infirmities. Now, do you have any clue what I'm talking about there? Sinless infirmities. Okay, same temptation. Okay, temptation is part of it, okay? Needs, because what, okay, I was going to say, let's break it down what I'm saying. What are infirmities? Weaknesses, okay? So, for instance, I have an infirmity that I've developed over the years, and that is I need glasses. When I was a young man, I had 20/20 vision. Then about 10 years or more ago, I'm riding down the road, and I'm realizing that green sign, that exit sign, I can't see what it's saying. It's blurry until I get closer. You know what I'm saying? Or when I'm reading my Bible, why all of a sudden can't I read what the Bible says anymore? Yeah, my arms aren't, I don't have bifocals. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, and sometimes I'm preaching here, and if I don't have my glasses on, I would look back there and I'd see Mike, and all I'd see is his head. His facial features would be gone. Do you understand what I'm saying? What? Oh, okay. Yeah, so those are infirmities, okay? So when we talk about Jesus as a human, he had, and they're sinless. So it's not like he's sinning. These are sinless infirmities. What are we talking about here? Well, Jesus experienced weariness, hunger, and thirst. Would you guys agree those are sinless infirmities? Do we all experience those? Okay, Scripture tells us very clearly, well, Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from the journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. That's from John chapter 4, verse 6, with regards to the woman at the well. That's his being weary. Here's the other one. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That's from Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. Why didn't I change that slide? Here is what John, this should be up there, but it's not. After this, Jesus, knowing that all is now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. Okay, so there he is experiencing thirst. That's from John chapter 19, verse 28. Now, here's the other thing. Jesus had normal human experiences such as he slept, and Bruce mentioned this, and faced temptation. Those are normal human experiences, right? Okay, what do we mean he slept? Well, Matthew 28, verse 24, behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. Okay, he was asleep. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Okay? All right, now, before we go on, this is very important for us to understand that he was a human, right? Why do you think this one aspect, that he had sinless infirmities, just like you and I, is so important? Why would you think that this is an important understanding here about his humanity? Okay, to understand what we're dealing with, what we're going with, anybody else got a thought? What's that? God in his deity wouldn't suffer any infirmities, but Jesus as a human would, yes. Glory. It was a choice that he made to become a human to go through those things. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I look at it and I'm very comforted by it, because if I recognize that he's fully God, fully human, I'm trying to wrap my brain around it. It is a comfort to me that he's not some just stoic, no feelings kind of dude. Do you understand what I'm saying? That he truly understands what I'm going through because he's gone through it himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there would be compassion there for us. And there is, right? Yeah, it's knowing that he's a human just like you. Well, not just like us because he's fully God, but he's a human, okay? That really brings comfort to us. That brings comfort to us. What else is there? Okay, here's the other one. He is repeatedly called a man. That's a proof. What do you mean? Well, Jesus was recognized as a man and was referred to as a man by others. Okay? He was recognized as a man and was referred to by others as a man. Here, verse 29 of John 9, this is the words of his enemies. But we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, so, okay, this guy, we do not know where he's come from. The reality is they recognized he was a human being. Even his enemies recognized that he was a human being. Folks, they recognized he was a human being when they killed him. I don't even think it would have entered into their mind if it wasn't. Because it's not physically possible, but I don't know that he was ever presented that way for them to think in terms of that. Did you understand? Your question is good, but I don't think they would have ever entertained that question because... Yes. Yes. Well, his deity couldn't be killed. Yes, but his human... Yeah. No, I know you're not arguing. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around what you're saying. And, so for them, he was a human being. And they would say he was a human being because we just killed him. Yeah. They hated him. Okay? Yeah, Mike. They killed him physically. But see, here's the thing. If you die physically, your spirit still exists. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not within your body necessarily, but your spirit. Nothing could destroy your spirit. Do you understand? Maybe I'm misunderstanding you, okay? I want to make sure I understand. Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah, yep.
And yet, when he was the one to give up his own life,
he said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Yes.
Nobody took it.
Nope, he did it himself. He died. Yep. Yeah, in fact, at the end, because it was drawing close to the time of the Passover and the Sabbath, remember, they went around and broke their legs to make sure that they would die. Now, why would they break their legs? Well, on a cross, crucifixion is suffocation. And they would position you so that you would push yourself up to breathe. Well, you break the legs, you can't push yourself up, so therefore you suffocate. But with Jesus, they came to him and they recognized that he was what? Dead. So therefore, they what? Thrust the spear into his side. Okay? Thrust the spear into his side to make sure. So that's what the text tells us. Yes, you're right. So, all right. So the fact is, he's a man. Repeatedly recognized as a man. Now, all right. So here we have the reality. He's God. And we know that because he transfigured, right? And then we have the reality that he's human. We also know that he's God because on the third day he what? Yeah, he rose again. Okay, not the same, although he had scars on his body, but completely different before. How do we know that? Well, remember, they're in the upper room, the room is closed, and Jesus comes right into the room, boom, through the walls. Now, how many of you can do that? Without physically breaking down the wall, right? We can't do that. He did it. Something's different there, right? So let's talk about then in our final segment here, the reality of the two natures. First of all, the reality that Jesus Christ has two natures is a deep mystery. So, people have tried to reconcile in their mind Jesus Christ being, having two natures. So one of the craziest illustrations of the two natures thing is people will use, are you ready for this, marriage as an example. Marriage as an example. Anybody know why they would use marriage as an example of the two natures? Yes, exactly right. Two become one. But it breaks down, right? Yeah, because you may be one in a bond.
I'm not fully W, and W's not fully me.
That's exactly right, yes. Yep, that's exactly right. So that's where it breaks down. It's a crazy thought. It's like trying to say the Trinity is like an ice cube. You know what I'm saying? And water and vapor at the same time. That's just craziness. People trying to explain something that is a mystery. So you're not going to be able to explain this mystery. You have to recognize, first of all, has there ever been anybody else like this in human history? So this is a one-time event, right? Only one person ever was like this. Has he been scientifically studied to understand him? No. Do you understand? Even if he were, nobody would be able to comprehend it, okay? So you have to recognize that it is a deep mystery. Now, what does that mean when we recognize that it's a deep mystery? What does it mean? Can't explain it, so therefore, what is an element that has to emerge with us? Faith, yes. Now, we've talked about other things that we didn't understand that we have to assume by what? Faith, such as his virgin birth, the incarnation. We can say, I believe in the incarnation. I believe in the virgin birth. How? What proof is there? How do we know? We have to assume it by what? Faith. Do you understand? Because the scripture reveals it. The scripture reveals that he was fully God and fully human. All right, here's the other one. It is a difficult concept to understand that Jesus Christ is both human and divine. And so sometimes we go off into error because we gravitate one way or the other. So there is a group. You guys, they used to come to your doors, knocking on the doors. Now they send you letters. Since COVID, their way of witnessing now is to send you a letter. They believe that Jesus wasn't God. They believe that he was simply a man. Anybody know who they are? I hear mumbling. Jehovah's Witnesses, yes. Okay, what do you mean they mail you? They don't come to the door anymore. Have you noticed that? But I get these letters in the mail. We've gotten them here at the church. To whom lives at 700 State? Well, it's to us. And then there's their watchtower report in the mail, and they're trying to share. Those folks do not believe in the deity of Jesus. They believe he's a human, but they don't believe in his deity, so much so that they have their own Bible translation. The New World Translation. If you come across one of those, just throw it in the garbage, okay? And that version was created to adjust it to get rid of any references to the fact that he was God. Because they can't comprehend that. Do you understand? They can't comprehend that. So it's a difficult concept for us to wrap our brain around. Do you understand? So it has to be one that we assume by what? Faith, okay? One that we assume by faith. First of all, here's the other thing. The two natures in Jesus Christ does not mean they combined into a third nature. Now, do you understand what I mean by that? Okay, he didn't lose any of his deity, okay? But I'm actually going a little bit further than that. John, that's good. I'm going a little bit further. Some people believe that him being fully God and fully human, he merged into this third type of being where the deity and the humanity, are you ready for this, mixed together. Okay? That it mixed together into this third type. A third type of Jesus. We know the deity Jesus. We understand the human Jesus. But now he's become this third Jesus. Okay? You're all are looking at me skeptical, which is good. It's okay. Because it's baloney. It's not a melding of the two. Do you understand? It's that he's both. Now, how do I understand that he's both? I'm not going to. But he's not some mergement of it. Do you understand? So like if I get 2% milk and I have my whatchamacallit of Hershey's chocolate syrup and I pour it in and then I stir it up, it becomes what? Chocolate milk, right? Because I mixed the two together and now it's great, right? That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about Jesus mixing together into this other being. Now, you guys are laughing, but this is the concept here. This is the reality. The two natures doesn't mean a mixture. It means both. He is both. Do you understand? He's both. Deity, who's always existed, but he became a man, took on human flesh, which is what the scripture says, right? Took on human flesh. Okay? Took on human flesh. Anybody got a thought or a comment or a snide remark? No? Okay. No, I'm not doing that. Okay. All right. So, in fact, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." There's a distinction.
That's as clear as it can be.
That is as clear as it can be, yes. Yeah. So he's human, and he's deity. Now, let me ask you a question before we get into an opportunity for you to ask me questions. What's the encouragement of this reality? What's the encouragement for you and I of this reality? I want you to think about it for a moment. The fact that he's fully human, fully God, when he's fully human, he experiences the same type of experiences that you experienced, even the temptations, but yet without sin, but yet he's fully God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. You know what I'm saying? What's the encouragement? You were going to say something, Tim. Okay, so it's an encouragement to you that whatever you're going through, God has already gone through it in his humanity. Okay? All right? Anybody else? Or is that the only thing we can see there?
I'm not sure if this is what you're looking for, but, you know, we have a Savior that no other religion or person ever was born like him.
Yes.
That we can depend on for our salvation.
Yes. And that is what I'm looking for, Mike. So that's good. There's no one else. Like, okay, we looked at it before about the different views of Jesus. Remember, we talked within Christianity, the crazy stuff that was thought. We also talked about it with regards to a lot of different other world religions and so forth. The fact of the matter is none of them can comprehend this Jesus. They can't comprehend it. He's either just a human or he's just one of many thousands of gods. Do you understand? So the reality is, and it's not just that he's our personal Savior. He's not just some moral example of a great high teacher. Do you understand? Of somebody who reached nirvana or perfection or whatever. You know, the reality is, which by the way, their concept of reaching a higher plane doesn't include people being crucified. Usually when people are crucified, that's viewed as somebody who's a scoundrel who's being crucified for some crime or something. Do you understand? So the whole concept of why the cross? In fact, Paul brings that out in Corinthians that to the world the cross is foolishness. But to you and I, it's what? Salvation. Okay? So the whole reality is here, him having these two natures should be an encouragement to us because there's no other Savior like him. And you're right, Tim. He's experienced what we've experienced. So therefore, when I go to him with my stuff, even like when I go to him and say, Lord, I'm extremely tired. I'm just really wore out. I can recognize immediately that he what? He understands, right? He understands. But I also recognize not more than just that he understands, I also recognize because of his deity, he can what? Do something about it, right? Do something about it. That's what makes him so wonderful. And that's why, can I be honest with you? So when we started into Jesus a few weeks back, I did the lesson about the different views. I asked that overriding question, is it okay just to say what a person needs to believe in Jesus and they're okay? Yeah, no. It's what you believe about Jesus. Just because you say you believe in Jesus, you might have some whacked out views about Jesus, right? Because by the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses, do they believe in Jesus? Yeah, they believe in Jesus, but what they believe in Jesus, does it lead to salvation? No. So I guess they're not doing okay, right? No, not at all. Not at all. So the reality is, understanding who he is and accepting by faith these mysteries. Let's be honest, the virgin birth is a mystery, right? The reality of him becoming God, taking on human flesh, being fully God, fully human, that's a mystery, right? Him even going to the cross and dying on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, that is a mystery, right? Because there have been thousands of people who've been crucified. There still are people who are crucified. Yes, the angels can't even comprehend the whole issue of salvation and how it comes about. Yeah. So all of these are issues of faith, okay? Issues of faith. Now, next week, when we get into our next lesson, we're going to look at his character. We're going to look at the character of Jesus Christ. So there's some interesting things there. Why do we need to talk about it? Well, some people have a wrong idea about his character. Because, by the way, his character is also going to be reflective of the character of who? God the Father. Okay? So we're going to talk about that next week.